New York Times presents Framing Britney is a Hulu documentary about Britney Spears' rise to fame, the tragic media microscope that she lived under, and her adult life living with no freedom under a conservatorship that started in 2006. It's big doc energy, bitch.
Back to big doc energy. Here we are again. Sam and Kayla back on the mic. Can I get a 1-2?
1-2.
Okay, so obviously Friday, big doc energy day. We're back again. We got a glass of wine this time.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, we're going to go real hardcore. We've got a little bit of chicken dip in the oven. Kayla's made it fresh.
Buffalo chicken dip, you know how
Buffalo,
it is.
Yeah, I had it for the first time at the Super Bowl. It was delightful. I asked for it again today.
Yeah.
It's my little Valentine's Day gift.
Yeah.
You could call this the Valentine's Day special.
Yeah.
If you want.
Why not?
Okay, so we'll start this by saying one nice thing about each other. Let's not go too far. As it's Valentine's Day.
Because he couldn't think of three right off the top of his head, probably.
Yeah, so go on then. One nice thing about me.
Okay.
And I'll do one for you, just to share the love.
Okay. I love your eyes.
Thanks. I love your lips.
Oh, thanks. Ew, so creepy.
Perfect.
Okay, let's jump right into it. So this week's episode, we're going to be talking about the New York Times Presents Framing Britney, which is a Hulu documentary which talks all about Britney Spears' life and rise to fame. I actually heard about this like the day after it came out, so we were really quick to watch it.
Yeah, we were. So it's a Hulu documentary. Well, actually, no. What it is, it's New York Times Presents Britney Spears. So New York Times has, you know, directed it, they've produced it, and then they've collaborated with Hulu to, you know, distribute it. That's the situation.
Yeah, there. Okay. So I wasn't paying attention when you actually put the documentary on. Are there other episodes of this New York Times Presents?
Yeah, yeah. So they New York Times Presents have done a few other little mini docs.
Did any of them look good?
Yeah, there was a few other ones. There was one about a guy who hacked something. I didn't really look too much.
Oh, so it's not like famous people.
No, they're not all just famous people. They're all just like random little mini docs.
Weird. Maybe we should watch some of them.
Yeah, I think a couple of them. I mean, the Britney Spears one was really good. So
yeah,
it's, you know, it's produced well and it was our kind of documentary vibe. So perhaps the other ones might be good.
Definitely. Coming off of the Tiger Woods last week, I felt like this one had just come out.
Yeah, we just did a man, now a girl.
Yeah, why not?
Why not?
I feel like last season of Big Doc Energy, we did pretty much all crime stuff. And I'm kind of happy that this season we're switching it up a little bit, going more into just random documentaries. I've got some really good ideas for some future ones. I really want to watch is that Cecil Hotel documentary on Netflix.
Yeah, that looks like a good one.
Yeah, it's a couple of parts long and I heard it's really good. So that is what we're going to watch tonight after we do this podcast.
After we've drunk some wine and talked about It's Britney, bitch.
And ate some chicken dip. Yum. Okay, so this documentary starts out with Britney's really early life and pretty much her rise to fame starting from the Mickey Mouse Club, which to me is so iconic and so crazy because so many stars came from the Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, we had obviously Justin Timberlake, who does feature in this documentary.
Yeah, he did. Not in a good way. Christina Aguilera, I think, was from Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah.
A few others. I feel like, I know this is really weird to say, but I feel like Britney Spears' singing voice when she got older was not as good as what it was when she was young.
Yeah, I agree. It got like, well, it got more like nasally, didn't it?
Yeah, like, it's Britney, bitch. But like back then, she could like actually really sing as a kid.
Yeah, and I think she like stood out because, you know, she was kind of known as the kind of the girl next door, pretty one on the Mickey Mouse Club. I know she's young. I don't be weird about
awkward.
No. What I'm saying is
no, because she was like Southern, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I get that. She was like everyone's neighbor that they know from school, and she was like so. Not that she's not pretty now, but she was such a cute little kid.
Yeah. Exactly. So. She was obviously a star on that, but it then just goes into, which, you know, it could have gone either way. So Mickey Mouse Club finishes. She then goes back to her hometown.
Yeah, and she was in regular school for a few years. And some people
just, like, fade away. There's so many, like, Disney stars that have been on Disney and then just faded away.
Yeah.
Like, and not became pop stars. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's just so crazy that whoever started Mickey Mouse Club probably never intended, obviously would never know, that all of these huge stars would come from that show. And so many of them did.
Yeah, I mean, as well, you've got the Mickey Mouse Club, which had obviously the Britney Spears and the Justin. And then as things kind of developed and kids' TV developed, then you got stars of Disney from obviously all the other things. So
yeah,
the High School Musicals, Zac Efron's and the Vanessa Hudgenses and all that sort of stuff.
I would have guessed all of my life that you were going to say.
Yes, because Zac Efron is the king. He can sing, he can dance, and he's great looking. He's a triple threat.
Sam loves Zac Efron.
Yeah, he's great. He's a great guy. He's funny.
Who do you love more, Justin Bieber or Zac Efron?
It's pretty tough. The issue is, like, when I think that, who I like more? Who would I like to go with for a beer with more? It sort of seems like Justin Bieber and Zac Efron party days are over. So I feel like I'd be having a beer and they'd be going like, in a zen in the corner.
Yeah, I feel like Zac Efron still drinks, though.
Does he?
I think he does.
He definitely, like, had a moment where he had to go to rehab and stuff.
He's living in a camper right now, like there an RV go. In Australia.
See? Classic Zac.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, we're not talking about those guys. As much as I would love to talk about Zac Efron, I have many a fact. It's Britney Spears Day.
Yeah, it is. So on Britney's rise to fame, they did talk a little bit at the beginning about her relationship with her dad. And it felt like her dad wanted her to be famous in order to kind of bring in the money for the family.
Yeah.
She's from a small town.
Bit like similar to the old Tiger Woods story that we talked about last week.
Yeah, actually, yeah.
You know, a parent noticing that there's an opportunity for their child and, you know, they have this natural gift to be a showman or showwoman. And, you know, I don't think this is as much like of a plan as the Tiger Woods one, because I don't really, well, and also I don't think it was about the money necessarily in the Tiger Woods situation.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the dad just wanted him to be the world's best athlete.
Right.
Whereas, like, it did seem that Britney's dad was really thinking of the money side of things, and that was kind of more of his end goal. He didn't care whether she was the best singer or not, as long as she was potentially going to buy him a boat, which is what was said in the documentary.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I wonder if he got that boat. They never did say.
I'm sure he did.
I'm sure he's got a little boat, hasn't he?
Yeah, you would think so.
You'd think so. She brought in some cash.
Yeah. But it is just so crazy to think. I mean, I don't want to say that I would never want to push my kid to do something like that, because obviously that would be so cool to have a pop star as a kid. But at the same time, like, you just want your kid to be a kid at some points. And I just feel like it would feel exploitative.
Exploitation.
Yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, you're exploiting the kid by kind of like making them into this star. And I feel like Britney never got a childhood, and it's just so sad. But
yeah, well, I mean, I have this master plan of our child potentially being an athlete for like the UK, and if they don't make the UK one soccer team, they'll go into the American soccer team. They got two chances to play for their country. We might as well.
He's talking about soccer.
Yeah, soccer. Yeah,
or football, but for
obviously
UK.
So the England team is one of the best in the world,
mm-hmm.
and USA aren't in terms of soccer. So if they don't get into the English team, at least we have a second chance.
At least they can go with the losers over to America.
I don't mind. I don't mind. I really don't.
Anyways, so I know that Sam wants our child to be a soccer star, but I don't know how I would feel about
and
pimping.
He won't get dinner until he scores a goal.
About pimping my child out to make me money in the long run.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I don't know. I guess it just mattered. It's circumstantial. But regardless, it did seem like Britney's family really wasn't around very much, because she was on tour with her mom's friend. Her parents were at home taking care of their other children. And Britney was just kind of on the road doing her singing thing. And I mean, if you do, let's preface all of this by saying that Kayla, as a fourth grader, I was absolutely obsessed with Britney Spears. like obsessed. Me and my best friend, Kaylin, at the time, we would have parties with all of our fourth grade friends. And if you couldn't listen to Britney Spears, you literally would have to go home because some of the parents didn't want their kids to listen to Britney Spears.
Because they weren't in the crew. You can't sit with us.
Literally, no, because Britney Spears' lyrics, which is what I'm about to get into, were not really made for fourth graders. Nah. So some of the moms were like, you're not allowed to listen to that. And if they weren't allowed to listen to Britney Spears and they were at our sleepover, we would literally kick
boys.
Them out. They would have
I love
to go,
boys.
They would have to go into her little sister's room and hang out in the other room because we would want to listen to Britney Spears so bad. So Britney Spears really appealed to like little kids, little girls, but her lyrics were not very PG.
You know, the tunes were catchy. I mean, to this day, they're catchy tunes. Okay, we've been renovating the house. Kay's been playing some old school Britney. I'm like, boys. Dun, 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 boy. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some guys just need one. Dun. Boys.
Yeah.
And cheese and control.
just a slapper.
Yeah. But, I mean, her family wasn't around. She's singing very, you know, promiscuous music for someone her age. And I feel like the media really took that and kind of ran with it.
Yeah. I mean, let's face it as well. Like, even though she's like singing those lyrics or whatever, she's still, I don't know how old she was when
she was
those
young,
kind of songs.
But really young.
Either way, you know, she obviously was older in her mind and was able to kind of do those songs and like pull them off because she'd already like she'd live way further than, you know, she's work, you know, you don't work at that age. She's
right.
She's in the Mickey Mouse Club working, and then she's then out working, doing her tours and going to shopping malls and doing her singing and stuff like that. That's, you are ahead of your time a little bit there, haven't you? She's had no time for, she's had to grow up pretty fast, and I guess she doesn't want to sing about Bratz dolls.
Yeah, and that's kind of like sad if you think about it.
Yeah, I mean, it is, yeah, it's another, I mean, you could name so many of these child stars that never had a childhood, and, you know, she's just another one.
We were just talking about that the other day with, well, Sam and I were talking about how Ariana Grande has the 36, 25, whatever the...
36 plus 45?
No, whatever, 34 whatever plus adds up to the 69 song that she has that's out.
34 plus,
and I know
34 plus 35. I don't know.
Whatever. but
is
we were talking
60 now. Yeah, that's right. 34 plus 35. 69.
Okay. we were talking about, because I know that Ariana Grande is my age, which is 20. She's probably 26, 27. And I wouldn't feel comfortable putting out a song like that for my parents to listen to. That's just weird.
This, yeah, that's the 69 thing's a bit much for me.
It's a, I mean, it's actually I love the song.
I mean, it's clever, but it's like, it's not actually necessary because, I mean, the song's rude because it's like, fuck me to the daylight.
Yeah.
But then the bit, the song's obviously called 34 plus 35, and then you think, where does that come into it? And then at the end, it's like, it means I want a 69 with you. Whoa. Ariana. Come on, that's too far. You're taking it too far. I don't mind you talking about sex a little bit.
Sam thinks
69.
Sam thinks it's so inappropriate.
It's not. It's unnecessary. That's what it is. I mean, 16. I am not like anti 69s at all.
Oh my god, my dad listens to this.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying. I understand the concept of it, but it's not needed. It's not needed in a song. It's too far. I mean, how like. You know, her grandma and mother, and they'd be like, oh, can we hear your new music? Got this absolute slapper grandma. It's called 34 or 35. What does that mean, Ariana Grande? 69er. Whoa, too far.
Okay, exactly. And that's the point that I'm trying to make. Like, Ariana is my age, and I would feel really weird putting out a song like that for my grandparents or my parents or whoever to listen to. But, like, Britney was kind of doing the same thing, but at a really, really young age.
Yeah. And what I also think is that times have changed. So
right.
If you think about it, you know, sex is talked about a little bit more.
Yeah, you can say WAP on a song.
Yeah, right. And, like, if you Ariana Grande's demographic and that her audience are young girls, right?
I know.
She's like singing about 69s. You think maybe you should play to your audience a little bit, but maybe she just wants to grow up. And I mean, that song's for everybody, obviously.
Yeah.
But she still does have an audience to cater for, and parents aren't going to want. Can you imagine you're like, oh no, it's too far. Imagine little kids. Anyone is 69. Where'd you learn that?
But it's also not disgusting. Not the artist's responsibility to parent these people's children.
No, I agree.
Like, my mom could have easily said, Kayla's not allowed to listen to Britney Spears, and I would have had to go home from that party. But instead, I stayed, and I jammed out to Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Yeah.
All the time.
What does Hit Me Baby One More Time refer to?
I don't know.
Is that a Hit Me Baby? Slap on the bum? What
probably. I was too young back then to, like, look at the lyrics, and I haven't really listened since. Yeah, I just know them. Yeah, yeah, sure. I just kind of sing along. But I'm sure there's a sexualness to it, for sure.
Yeah, and obviously she had a lot of kind of stick from the media because she would dress, you know.
Provocatively.
Kind of, yeah, but she'd like, well, I mean, it wasn't that bad. But when you think back then, it probably was a bit more daring than other artists were doing. Especially, right. And especially her age as well. Which I think is a bit of a shame going on to that, because even though she had the media talking about it, she'd always get asked in interviews saying, you know, the world is talking about it. And she's like, what are you talking about? It's like, your breasts. And it's like, this is what the, you know, the interviewer would say. And it's like an older man. It's like,
that would never, I feel like that would never fly these days. And that's good. That's a good change in the world that we've seen. Because even, oh my God, the questions in the documentary when they were like, Britney, are you still a virgin?
Yeah,
that would not, you cannot ask her that.
You really cannot ask that.
That is not any of your business. And that is a good change that's happened within pop culture media, that we don't accept things like that anymore. That is not okay to ask.
It's like, it was her brand to be a virgin, wasn't it? And be like the cute girl, whatever. It was like kind of a part of her brand.
Yeah, maybe.
And like, and she, I mean, if you think about it, her team would be like, if anyone asks you this question, say you're waiting to get married for that special person, because obviously that then does cater for the young audience.
Right.
Now it's like gone the other way, and like, people are like, you know, talk about wet ass pussies. Go for it. No problem.
Yeah. It is. It's definitely a weird change that's happened over the past years. But regardless, it was really inappropriate the way that Britney was treated. And I think that this documentary really highlighted that. And also, they did talk about how the climate of America at the time was kind of just hearing about sexual stuff, because the Monica Lewinsky thing with Bill Clinton. Do you know anything about that, Sam?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Ish. Yeah. Obviously, British people don't know as much as we do. But yeah, our president had an affair with a young, like, secretary. So it was all over the media. So I feel like that, paired with Britney Spears, made this really sexual media environment. And I think it was the first time that it ever really had happened, and people didn't really know how to deal with it. Whereas now, it's more of just common that it's...
Yeah, I mean, it's like people wanted to hear, like, the next, you know, sex story or whatever and all that sort of stuff, and people just don't care now. It's like, all right, we're all adults. Let's just move on.
Yeah.
It's just not... I mean, like I said, people are singing about it now, so it's become the norm. So it's kind of not actually sort of been... no one really talks about that sort of thing in the media. It's not like headlines if someone...
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter anymore.
I wonder if the way that... Because obviously, Sam and I are not famous enough to have paparazzi. I know. You guys are really surprised.
I actually did have some before.
Oh, my God. No, I knew you were going to say that.
I did. A long time ago, I did. But
this one time, Sam was outside of somewhere smoking a cigarette. He doesn't smoke cigarettes now.
I don't smoke them now. I think I was just stressed at the time. I just come off Love Island. And I didn't even think of anything of it. I was like, I was going on another talk show thing. And I was like, well, I need a cigarette. I need to calm down. I'm nervous to go on the show. And then I didn't think anything would come of that. And then the next day, my, I think it was my dad, was like, messaged me and said, there's some pictures of you in the paper smoking. And why are you smoking? I didn't know you smoke. And I was like, I don't smoke. And he's like, well, there's some pictures of you smoking. And I was like, what the hell? He's like, well, your grandma's seen that. What am I going to say to her? And I was like, I don't know. I was nervous. But
he got paparazzi'd, is what he's saying.
Yeah, I did. I mean,
so he feels really cool.
But also, you know, every man and his dog gets paparazzi'd in the UK, so it's not exactly, you know, a big thing.
Yeah, it's a lot different here.
It's definitely a lot different. It's a smaller place, so if you go on a show and you've got your 5 minutes of fame, then the paparazzi will take photos of you and then they get bored and move on. But that was one of my big ones.
That is actually pretty cool, and someday I hope to maybe get paparazzi'd for something good.
Yeah, not something great, bad. Is it?
Yeah, it's not. I could go either way, but
We got paparazzied outside the Brits, if you think.
But that wasn't really, that wasn't real.
They weren't there
they
for us.
They were paparazzing everyone.
They weren't there for us. Yeah.
You could have just been Joe from down the road.
What are you wearing?
Yeah. Wasn't really like that.
Anyway, going back to like the media stuff.
But I do wonder.
Oh, okay. We're cutting me off now.
Sorry. No, but going back to what I was saying, I do wonder it, because we're not big enough stars to know like how it feels to be paparazzi 24 hours a day. I wonder if it's still like that, because it seemed like Britney was paparazzied relentlessly, really badly, like every single day. Like even when she's just eating, like the poor girl couldn't do anything without paparazzi just in her face. And I know that Kim Kardashian probably gets that somewhat, and maybe the Kardashians do, but I feel like that's not really a thing anymore.
I think it's because, like, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but obviously it's easier to, I think being a person in the, you know, being a paparazzi, I don't know.
Paparazzi.
Whatever. Taking photos of famous people, right? Yeah. So they were, obviously those photos would sell for a lot of money back in the day, because the only way you could see a picture, or see back in those days, is if a photographer took a photo of the star and then it got printed in a magazine or a newspaper.
Right.
Now we have access to online media and things are tweeted in live time within seconds. I would say that these paparazzi aren't getting the money anymore.
Right.
You know, it still happens. Justin Bieber gets followed down the road when he's out in LA and videos and stuff. But they're really just, I think it's just less.
In
your face. Well, I mean, it's not as, here's Britney drinking a Starbucks. It's more like paparazzi are following people to get a reaction. It's like the only thing that we would sell now is like if a celebrity reacts.
Right. Like a Kanye West being like, get the fuck out of my face kind of situation.
Yeah, and obviously that's the job of the paparazzi. And you actually see that in the Britney Spears documentary. Some paparazzi, you know, actually push her to a limit where she does fight back. And that paparazzi is actually in the documentary, and he actually is interviewed about that.
Yeah, I love him in it. He's just like, well, she never asked me to stop. And they're like, well, what about when she screamed stop? And he's like, oh, she didn't say forever.
Yeah, she did that day, and I went home, and then I went back to her house and stood outside. It's weird. The paparazzi, I can't imagine what it must be like to have that. It must be so horrendously annoying and just life ruining.
Yeah, and that's the thing. So I feel like it's kind of like an exponential downfall, because like when you start getting paparazzied, you obviously get very annoyed, and then you start to react, and then you get more paparazzi because you're reacting. You know what I mean? So now you're just paparazzied because you're reacting, and then you start spiraling out of control, and you drink more probably because you have to deal with all of this shit, and then you make poor decisions, and it's just like, I can just see it. I don't blame her for spiraling.
Yeah, it's like I said, it must be a difficult thing. And you know, it wasn't even just paparazzi, like I said, there was interviewers, and the whole time, you know, from her being a child star up until her being one of the world's biggest pop stars, the media were on her 24/7, and it never ever stopped, you know. So it goes into the Justin Timberlake stuff. And then again, that's about her relationship with him. And he kind of comes across quite badly on that, because the media took his side rather than her side and tried to make her like look like, I don't know, a slut or whatever. And then it then goes on to her getting engaged. Who's the guy she got engaged
Kevin Federline.
Yeah, so it goes into that. And then, you know, following all of that relationship. And it's just, it never, never, ever stopped.
Yeah, even after. Okay, so quickly back to the Justin Timberlake thing. I feel like he's getting a lot of really bad heat, like in the press, even right now, for all of that. And in my opinion, I feel like, I know a lot of people are calling him, maybe, actually, before I say anything, if I get this wrong, educate me on it, because I don't know that much. And I know that a lot of people do hate on Justin Timberlake for being like a womanizer. I don't know much about the topic, but from what I've seen in this documentary, I feel like he was just young too. He was just
a young star.
Yeah, just a young idiot. He didn't know much. He's just a star. He didn't have much direction. He was dating Britney. He said some bad things about her that he probably shouldn't have. But it's like, I really don't think we should fault him in 2020 for, I just didn't think it was that big of a deal. He's just a young kid.
Yeah, he was just kind of in the same boat as Britney, but like I said, girls just get more of the heat and the...
I think if anyone's to blame, it's the media.
Yeah, and, you know, that's... Well, okay, well, so what are we talking about? Blaming for what? What are we talking about here?
That's a good question. I think when I say blame, I mean putting Britney in a situation where she feels uncomfortable. Like, I feel like not just the world, but the media put Britney on this pedestal and then literally pushed her off of it purposely.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a difficult one. I think we're kind of talking about kind of what happened then and how she is now. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how we're talking, right? So she, you know, currently isn't bringing out music and she isn't in the kind of world of show business as much.
Right.
And obviously kind of what the documentary is about, because it does start with the fans.
Yeah.
And the fans ultimately want her to bring out new music and they want her to work.
Yeah.
And they feel like the reason she isn't able to do that is because of the thing.
Conservatorship.
Yeah, that word.
Sam's not good at saying it.
Conservatorship.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay. So, and obviously that's what we should definitely speak about.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of what the whole documentary is about. But at the same time, and the documentary does talk about why she's in this position.
Right.
Okay, so there
You're saying why she got the conservatorship to begin with. Right.
Exactly. So she, I think what I've read is that, you know, she's had this crazy life, mm-hmm. paparazzi, whatever. She's had her problems. She's been married, divorced, all that sort of stuff. And it's got to a point with her mentally that people in her family feel like she's not fit to control her finances and to make good decisions.
Right.
So, because you've done more research than me, so I'm kind of like
mm-hmm.
asking you about it. And then maybe the listeners will obviously
feel
the same way as I do, because I'm not fully... I know I watched the documentary, but it's still confusing. So she... I assume she's had problems with alcoholism. And stuff like that.
I'd say. I mean, I don't think...
It's not like not out there.
Right. I don't think that they or anyone knows 100% what her situation is, but I'm going to assume alcohol and drugs.
Right. Okay. She's not the only one, because there's a lot of stars and child stars that have gone down that route to escape, you know, the life of being a pop star.
We could do a whole nother one of these about Amanda Bynes, and she's in the exact same situation, and she's in a conservatorship that she can't escape right now also.
Okay.
Which is so crazy.
Yeah, and there's other stars that have gone down that route, like Demi Lovato.
Right.
I know she's not in a conservatorship.
Yeah.
And she's working, but she also has had her problems with mm-hmm. drinking alcohol to escape the craziness of being a child star and a pop star, and the pressure, I'm sure, is horrendous.
Yeah.
So, completely understand how that can happen. So Britney's in a position now that she... Yeah, so the conservatorship is that her dad is the conservatee.
Her dad is in control of her finances and some of her personal decision making.
Okay.
So if she makes, say, a deal like with the MGM or Planet Hollywood or whatever she's doing, her dad right now is in control of that.
Okay.
She isn't in terms of legal actions, she isn't fit to make any adult decisions really by herself.
Okay.
I think that some conservatorships could be down to small decisions like what they eat that day and things like that. If you're really
mentally unwell,
which I think that her dad actually might have control of, but I don't think that he uses control of. I think that she makes those kind of like day-to-day decisions for the most part, but he is in control definitely of her money and her business dealings.
Okay.
But I mean, it's not like that right now, because right now there is a co-conservatorship. But when it first started, this was all a temporary thing when she was going through all of the craziness in 2006 with the media. The paparazzis had caught her with her baby driving on her lap. Yeah. She had a bunch of problems with Kevin Federline. That was when she shaved her head.
Yeah.
And got a tattoo. She was carrying her baby at one point with a drink in her hand, and it was just a whole mess. She was spiraling, going out with Paris Hilton and Lindsay Lohan. We all know Lindsay Lohan is just not the one to hang out with.
Right.
Shout out Lohan Beach Club. But in 2006, he got that conservatorship as a temporary deal, but it has now lasted up until now.
Okay.
So what...
And because it seems like at the when this part comes into it, seems like she's kind of on board with it. And he's like, she's doing shoots, and she was on like How I Met Your Mother and done a few business stuff and
yeah,
did the Vegas stuff.
Yeah. So since then, actually... Britney has come out with 4 more albums. And this is all under her conservatorship.
Okay.
4 more albums. She's gone on tour. She guest appeared on How I Met Your Mother. She was a judge on X Factor. And she had her residency in Vegas for, I think, multiple years. But it could have just been one. I'm not really sure about that.
Right.
But she was there for a while. So she has actually been working and making money under this conservatorship.
Yeah.
So some could argue that she is fit and competent to control her estate.
Right.
But I think that there's a lot more to it.
Yeah, I mean, so she's done that under the conservatorship, and now it seems like she doesn't want to work anymore.
Yeah.
But right. And her brother does an interview and says like, oh, I know like, my sister Brittany, she's voiced that she wants to get out of it.
Yeah.
So now we have, because we don't know all the information, and not even the diehard Brittany fans must know all the information about her, because they're not there,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I think that...
Basically, what I'm saying is, like, what's changed? Is it the fact that she doesn't want to be in it anymore, mm-hmm. so she refuses to work? Or is it she's not well enough to work?
Yeah, so the whole Free Britney movement actually started in 2009 with a kid named Jordan Miller. He had a Britney Spears fan site called Breathe Heavy, and he started it, I think, just because he felt like Britney was being kind of like held without her being able to make adult decisions by herself. I don't think that he even really knew what this whole conservatorship really was doing to Britney's life at the time. But I did read online that he, Jordan Miller, the guy who started this entire Free Britney movement, mm-hmm. in March of 2009, Britney's dad, his lawyers, contacted them to shut down the site because they said that he was using Britney's likeness to like gain ads and stuff.
Right.
So Britney's dad does not like the Free Britney movement and actually tried to stop it from the beginning in 2009.
Right.
So I think that this is a movement that started organically back then, but nowadays it's kind of grown into something so much bigger because more, I mean, I don't want to say conspiracies, but more Britney Spears conspiracies keep growing as time goes by.
Yeah.
Because people look at her Instagram and this one person commented like, if you want to say help, wear yellow in your next post. And she wore yellow in the next post.
Oh,
like, I think Britney,
sure about that.
Swear to God, it happened.
Well, no, I believe it happened, but I just don't.
Are you saying you think it's a coincidence?
Yes.
Yellow is a weird color to wear though.
Yeah, I know, but they could have done that anytime. Like,
that is one of the conspiracies though.
Yeah, but like,
she's done a few other things.
They could have had like, I don't know. Fans could have commented that in every color, and then they just, I'm not sure about that.
I'm not saying,
I feel like, I mean, I'm jumping the gun here.
Yeah, okay.
But I just feel like I think, you know, Britney is Spears doesn't seem very well, and her, you know, herself on Instagram.
Okay. You're saying, you're saying judging as an outsider that's looking at her Instagram.
Yeah.
She doesn't seem,
I don't know. I don't want to say like, because I don't know who she is today. Right. So I don't want to say that's not the Britney I know, because the Britney I know was in school uniform and had pigtails.
Yeah.
But, you know, I feel her speech and the way she kind of talks on Instagram doesn't seem right. Do you know what I mean?
I get it. Yeah, I'm with you. I was just waiting to see how you worded it.
Yeah, I know. No, it's more like, okay, so in the documentary, you see her do interviews with like top reporters, and yeah, she's answering really like very articulate ways and just straight to the point and very good grammar and, you know, very quick speech and pronounced very well. And this, her Instagram seems the opposite, totally different person.
She's I will agree with you on that for sure. Her Instagram makes her seem not completely there, if that makes sense. Like some of her videos, you're like, that's strange.
Yeah.
And I don't know what that says about her. I don't know if maybe she's just grown into this new person or if she is mentally not there, but she does seem different. That's for sure.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is that, and again, I'll probably get loads of free Britney fans going at me here, but I think that part of it is a conspiracy. And I feel like Britney Spears has access to Instagram because she does.
Yeah.
She must do. She uploads videos. And we even saw like her boyfriend doing like a behind the scenes and did a post of her doing her one of her videos. It's not like she was, you know, had a production company behind her saying, say this.
Yeah.
And her dad wasn't there. She was just doing them.
Right.
So I feel like if she wanted to really do a whole help, I'm stuck here, you know, this is horrendous, I'm held against my will sort of situation, she probably wouldn't have a boyfriend in the house. And she could probably just go on Instagram and do that. I don't think she needs to be doing like subliminal messaging, like for an Instagram page. I think that's too far. I'm not saying she might not be happy with the situation she's in.
Right.
But I don't think it's a hostage situation.
No, I don't either. Not at all. And I totally agree on that.
I know hostage is a bit of a... I'm going a bit over the top here. But
I think hostage is actually a good word, because the Free Britney movement does make it seem like Britney is a hostage being held up in this like castle of a house that people just think that she's completely stuck in and jailed in. Where I think some aspects of that are true. She is an adult that might feel like she doesn't have the freedoms that she deserves. And I definitely think that the Free Britney movement is really cool of the fans to be looking out for her in that aspect. But also, we don't know the behind the scenes of what her doctors are saying.
Exactly. That's a big one.
And
that is a big one for me. We don't know the doctor's stuff.
We don't know. We don't. We think that she might be completely capable of her finances, but I think that as a fan, which I am, I would want the best for someone like Britney. And I think maybe if she has this conservatorship, maybe this is the best for her. I feel like if she wants to change her conservator for it not to be her dad, then that is 100% something that she should be able to do.
Yeah, because I think the dad thing is too much of a conflict of interest there, because he can probably financially gain from it.
Yeah. And he does.
He does. And he's more... I mean, you could get a bad lawyer, but still, he's like got more of a... And, you know, with the documentary, it does explain that he was very interested in the money she was getting. So it just seems like not the right person.
Right.
I
think Britney wanting her conservatorship to be handed over to a lawyer, that is completely fair. And I think that they should 100% grant her of that. And if that is what the Britney movement means, is free Britney of her dad, then I'm 100% behind it.
Yeah. As long as she... Definitely. I mean, it'd be great if she just came out and said, look, thanks for the Free Britney stuff. I really don't want to be have my dad as the conservator
yeah
anymore. I'd love it to be a lawyer. Then great.
Yes.
You know, or does she really just want to be completely out of
but
it?
But does the Free Britney movement, are they saying that Britney should be completely free of the conservatorship? Because that I can't stand behind, because we don't know what her doctors are saying.
I would say, obviously, I don't, everyone probably has their own opinion in the Free Britney, you know, movement, but there must be some, I reckon there are some people that are maybe not as, they're more thinking about Britney, how she was back then and how she is an adult. And, you know, Britney fans just want probably like more music because they're diehard music fans. Do you know what I mean? And they're not getting that music and they have to blame someone.
And that's another thing. So Britney is refusing now to work until her dad is not
her
conservator.
Is that completely true though? Or is that again another assumption from the Free Britney movement?
No, that's true.
That is true.
She has said that she's not working anymore if her dad is a conservator.
Right, okay.
So if the Free Britney movement is about freeing her of her dad, then sick. I get that.
Makes complete
sense, because they want more from Britney. They want her to go on tour. They want her, or whatever, have her Vegas shows,
make
music.
Yeah, again, it's like, as long as the fans like understand that, as long as she wants to go on tour, because she's not young anymore.
Yeah.
You know, she's getting older and she's got kids. And
but I do think that there's a possibility that she might need a conservator, that we're kind of being naive about, where like maybe there's a situation that, because they talked about in the documentary that she was getting involved with Sam Lutfi, and Sam Lutfi is known to be a scumbag. And he has been involved with like a bunch of celebrities that were, he just happened to be there during their downfall.
Man.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and for all we know, maybe her parents were trying to save her from accidentally giving Sam Lutfi control of her fortune. And nobody wants that for Britney. And if she is in a state where they think that she's vulnerable to other people and needs somebody there as a conservator to help her, then I think that seems appropriate, and that maybe she needs that conservator there.
And
maybe not her dad.
She's got a new guy in her life. We don't know that he's not.
What if he's a scumbag?
Yeah,
what if he just is there to steal her money?
If the courts grant her complete, she's free, no conservatorship, whatever like that, and then he ends up like, you know, making bad decisions for her because he's probably a big influencer right in her life right now.
Definitely.
It could happen again. So yeah, I think. For me personally, I feel like from what I've seen online of her, that she could probably do with continue having a support team managing bits and pieces.
I think it should be more of a team than her dad.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Like a board
of
people.
And especially if, you know, it goes down to that, she doesn't actually want her dad to be it. And I think that's the thing with the conservatorship thing I can't even say the thing.
Conservatorship.
The conservatorship is that there isn't a, if the person doesn't want them to do it anymore, they have to step down.
Yeah.
And even then, no, they have to step down. Even then, they can't quite step down.
No, so there is a horrible loophole when it comes to conservatorships, and maybe this case will be the one that changes it, because it should be. But it is messed up that the only real people who can call off the conservatorship are the conservators.
Right.
And the conservators are financially gaining from being the conservators.
Okay, so they can step down.
Mm-hmm. And say, Britney's all good.
And say, I don't want to.
She's fine. We think that she's totally cool, which I think my parents would do. But it seems like Britney's dad is there for the money. So, like, he's profiting off of her by being the conservator. And the lawyers are profiting off of her by being the lawyers as the conservator.
Yeah. So, and she still has to pay for it. It still comes out of her paycheck as well, which is crazy.
So like, it's this big loop of like, of course they don't want her to not have the conservator because they're making money off being the conservators.
Yeah. It's like the movement as well. I do see it's like strongly like, this isn't a business. This is meant to help people.
It should help her.
And obviously because she's so famous and rich, it is a business.
Yes.
So there definitely has to be something in place, which like I said, maybe a law could change here because of this situation. You know, a decision, like there's like a different way of going about this in a circumstance like Britney Spears.
Yeah. I don't think this is something that happens very often though, if you think about it. Someone that has tons and tons of money and needs a conservator.
Yeah,
to
exactly.
To take care of it. I think it's a rare occasion. So, I mean, maybe this will be the one that changes it for the next pop star or whatever.
Yeah. It's kind of, it's a bit of a weird one. I've never heard of it, to be honest. I've never heard of it.
Yeah, you can't even say it.
I can't even say it. I've never heard of it. I don't need it. But either way, my opinion, I'll finish off with my opinion, is that
okay.
Britney definitely needs to have someone or a team there to make sure she is on track, because we have so many celebrities.
I don't think you should say definitely, because we don't know. We're speculating.
Okay, I'm speculating then. But what I am saying is that people that don't get the help and don't have people looking out for her, I'm not saying her dad is looking out for her.
Right.
But imagine if it was all taken away and she was left on her own, just on her own 2 feet.
Oh, and that's
they could go another way and she could get her extremely like unwell.
And that's another thing, is Britney's never been on her own, if you think about it. Like, as a 15-year-old, she had a team of people, and now she's what, 30, 40 something or whatever. And it would be weird for her to not have a team of people at this point.
Does she have, you might not know the answer to this, but her dad obviously, does he act as her manager as well?
I'm not sure. I would assume she probably has a manager.
Yeah, so I wonder what the situation is with that.
I don't think that he's ever been her manager.
No.
I don't think.
So, like, if she has a manager right now, like, how does that work with her dad? Because, you know, I don't really get...
Well, the manager would get her the jobs, and then the dad would say whether she wants to do it or not. She wouldn't be the one to say whether she wants to do it or not.
But she, I mean, she could just obviously physically not do it.
That's what she's doing right now.
Right. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy.
And that actually leads us up to last night. The date is February 12th right now. So February 11th was yesterday of 2021. And Britney went to court. I don't know if she physically went to court or what happened, but this case went to court. Her dad right now is a co-conservator with a lawyer, which got granted a few months back, which is really good for Britney. I think that's amazing, because I don't think that all of this should be left up to her dad. I think that if she doesn't want it to be left up to her dad, it shouldn't be. So having a second person there as a lawyer, great for her. But yesterday it went to court because her dad appealed it and wanted to be the sole conservator again, like it has been the past 10 years or whatever. But that motion actually got denied by the judge. So he is now still a co-conservator with the lawyer until whatever happens next.
Oh.
And now I think Big Doc Energy has become a Britney Spears podcast.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I thought it was actually pretty crazy to me that there were those two girls on the Britney Spears, on the documentary, who had a Britney Spears podcast. I'm like, what do they talk about weekly? I would run out of things to say.
I know, right? Well, she does some pretty cool dances on Instagram every now and then.
Yeah, I guess they could talk about the choreography.
Yeah, exactly. Twirls that she does. I don't know. Hopefully in the near future, we'll get some new Britney Spears songs.
Yeah, I mean...
I like them.
If something does happen with the case, and say her dad gets taken off of the case or whatever, and isn't her conservator anymore, maybe we'll try and get those girls from that podcast, the Britney Graham podcast, to come on.
Yeah, that'd be great.
And talk to us about what they feel about it or something.
That'd be great. I mean, Britney Spears is like 39 now.
Is she?
Yeah.
Wow.
So... she's not going to be, I mean, if she does bring out new music and, you know, go on tour, she's, you know, that's difficult for that age.
Yeah.
39, I want to be chilling out, you know.
Yeah, definitely.
I don't know if I'm going to be doing tours and stuff, but like, she has a die-hard fan club.
She really does.
The fan club's probably a small way of saying it. But she's got some die-hard fans, and, you know, they want that music and they want that old Britney back, and I get it.
Yeah.
So... hopefully in the future she gets out of that and we get a bit of Britney bitch back.
Definitely. And I think that's the end of our podcast, but I do have one last Britney Spears story from my childhood.
Okay.
Okay. So when I was in, I had to have been second grade, maybe third. I used to have to go to aftercare because my mom obviously worked and couldn't pick me up right away after school.
Right.
So I went to this aftercare program, and you could write fan mail to your favorite whoever. So I had like this stationery with my picture at the top of it.
Yeah.
like a picture of me in third grade. I wish I still had the stationery.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And I would write to Britney Spears like every week.
Really? She didn't write back?
Never.
Never. That's a shame.
I know. How sad.
That is a real shame. I used, you know this already, but I used to be a big fan of David Blaine.
Yeah, yeah.
I never wrote to him, but
he had a whole scrapbook of David Blaine.
But when he was in a see-through box in the sky in London, I waved to him and he definitely waved me back. So I got closer to my childhood hero than you did.
You did, yeah.
And with that being said, you know, we've got to go now because we've got some wine to drink.
There's wine to be drank.
I have prepared a small document here. It's a conservatorship for me to take control of all your finances in life.
Yeah, right.
Kayla, if you just sign here and here.
Get out of here. Bye, guys. Thanks for listening.
See you next time.